You're listening to Around Comics, episode 211, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Devil May Cry from Funimation.
Yes.
Welcome to another episode of Around Comics.
Yeah. Problem free. No problems. Recording this.
It's been a while. Give me a break, Tom. Although it was just the same when I used to do it before. So.
Yeah. Segment called Ball Buster.
In case you're wondering where Chris is, he's not here.
He's dead.
This is Sal. I took over the show.
Yeah.
We voted
Chris out.
Survivor. He's off the island.
Your texts and phone calls have made the decision for us.
We had a tribal meeting and Norton put out Chris's fire.
But he pissed on him.
You were off.
You were off.
We're doing this old school.
You are off the island.
You're banished.
It's Friday night. We're in a comic shop again. Which comic shop, you asked, Tom?
Dark Tower Comics.
And Collectibles. Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue. In Chicago. This episode is brought to you by InStockTrades.com, which offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need.
Oh, yeah.
All of
them.
You
need some collected editions.
Really. It's your source for the trade of paperbacks, paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials,
showcase,
archives,
showcase,
absolute editions,
give them to me,
omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices.
If you like it enough, you can buy it in a hardcover, softcover, double hardcover.
I want this book!
Bronze.
I can't stand it anymore.
Laminated.
Remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Like I said, I'm Sal. Tom.
Hey.
We're with Mike Norton.
Yeah.
And Hank.
Don't say a goddamn word, Hank.
You can talk, Hank.
Yay!
That's enough.
That's enough.
Quiet.
We'll get another sandwich.
Do I have to raise my hand?
We have absolutely nothing really planned for this episode.
Yeah.
We're all talked out. We talked a lot before the show started.
We figured out RIP. We fucking lost it. We lost the recording.
We cracked the code. We cracked the Da Vinci code.
We figured it all out.
Yeah.
Figured it out. Graham Morrison was here. He showed up. We interviewed him, but it's gone. We lost it.
A cloud of brimstone just appeared. We had a seance and he showed up.
Are you studying magic?
God.
Wow. Magic.
I thought, Tom thought. Maybe we would just kind of start things off by reading some emails. I put out the word on all of our various social networking devices and got a bunch of emails in.
Friendster, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter.
Whatever you got.
Twitter. Forum.
Do
you study magic?
Our first one is from Chris Niesman. And
really?
He says, "Hey guys, what are you doing?
God. Please don't
I'm just
screw
kidding.
Up the show. Stop talking about magic."
Let's see. Our first email is from Patrick O'Brien.
Hello.
And Patrick said...
That's a fake name.
Are there any good Irish comics?
I won't give out his email, but... he said, "Hey guys, big fan of the show. Listen to it all the time. I will try to be brief as this may be the most inconsequential email you have ever received."
Nah, I doubt it.
There's no way this is going to be.
Especially not Mike, because he's on the Crankcast and they receive some pretty inconsequential.
What are you wearing?
I caught an episode of The Simpsons where a rival comic book store opens in Springfield. Very funny episode, especially the comparison of a good shop and a bad shop. In the episode, during a creator signing session being held at the new store, with hilarious cameos by
Art... Wait, is he just explaining the plot of The Simpsons to us?
Basically. With hilarious cameos by Art Spiegelman.
I've heard of this.
Alan Moore, I've seen that.
He actually puts quotes in from each of these characters. This is where Batman keeps his money in case he needs to ride the bus. Alan Moore You like it when I turned radioactive man into a heroin-addicted jazz critic who wasn't radioactive.
Oh, he's putting lines from the show.
Yeah, yeah. The old shop...
I think we're supposed to recite it.
The old shop owner bursts in and attempts to...
Don't try to be funny, Hank.
In an attempt to win back his customers, proclaims, "Now on sale at my store, Ninja Weapons." Are you
awesome.
Guys? Are you guys writing The Simpsons on the side or something? Is the pairing of ninja weapons and comics more widespread than anyone had guessed? I thought the coincidence was pretty hilarious. Unfortunately, the Chucks were not red, white, and blue. Keep up the good work, guys.
Another Ninja 3, the Domination reference.
Patrick from Vancouver, British Columbia.
How prevalent do you think the ninja weapon comics crossover is in America?
I've already said that that's where I used to buy my comics was a martial arts store.
I would say today probably not nearly as
the
much.
80s,
as it,
the
80s,
the
90s, they went together like peanut butter and jelly.
But you cannot go to a comic book convention without a sword vendor.
You
so
can.
I mean,
several
right there,
sword
several
vendor.
Sword vendors.
I think
yeah.
they frown on the ninja stars now because.
They're
picking those
steel.
Up and yeah, and nobody even knows. It's like you see somebody coming at you with a sword at a convention.
You got some warning. You got a little warning.
A ninja star in their
yeah.
neck.
Maybe if you're not.
It's kind of hard to prove that.
They might see if you're not any good with that sword. That's right.
You
failed.
But I think definitely in the 80s, I mean, it was just a cultural. Well. If I ever get my first episode of the Overkill Show, I will go into the cultural significance of ninja weapons.
There are so many useless ninja weapons.
It's just it's a world. It's all this world of fantasy. It all goes together, like living
in
another.
The hook swords they got?
No,
I don't understand the purpose of the hook swords.
It's probably to gut.
It's
someone.
A sword with a hook on it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if you're fishing.
That was so cool when I was a kid, but there's no practical use for it.
I'm sure somebody sent me
a Jackie Chan movie or something. They've had that stuff.
Somebody sent me a video for a knife that it was called a ejector knife.
Oh, the wasp
knife.
Oh, my
God.
Wasp knife, yeah.
Well, I've seen that.
The blade
that
breaks off or something?
No.
Even more diabolical. He's inventing shit.
Yeah.
Trademark.
No, it's like you stick. Well, they did a video. They had a video and like sticks it in a watermelon and hits the button and like CO2 explodes the watermelon.
That's terrible.
And I was just like, what the?
It's for
what
us.
The hell? It's for divers for shark
yeah.
attacks.
Well, you might.
But then
well just
you know,
or just walking down the street yeah. exploding people.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're gonna go to that trouble, just shoot them. Like. Wait, come on.
Just stabbing people and blowing them. I don't know what's going to damage
it. It's a surprise, though, that with the prevalence of ninja stuff and comics in the 80s, that the Badger wasn't just like a runaway hit. Because that would have been a perfect.
Where do you think I know about the hook sword? Yeah. And the three-sectional staff.
Yeah, it is from the Badger.
You are,
or
right.
this,
you are correct, sir.
The meticulously laid out, choreographed fighting scenes.
That series lasted for like 65 issues,
yeah.
man. Don't say I mean,
for an independent book, man.
Obviously, the
successful.
Ninja thing was working for
it. It didn't mess up. Perfect time. It struck at the perfect time.
All right. Our next email is from Jeff Peterman.
Hello.
Sorry. That's a different email. Never mind. He did email us, but that's not.
He's
for...
like, please
stop.
Not read emails.
He emailed us about the hero donation raffle thingy. And,
okay.
But which by the way, I don't know if everybody knows or not, but Mike Norton was kind enough to donate a page from Trinity.
Did you guys pick which one you wanted? I gave him two choices.
Yeah, I told him the one I liked, the
okay.
second one.
Right.
I thought was awesome. But,
the sandwich making scene.
That we're going to raffle off in case we'll talk about the Hero Initiative later, but we're doing a raffle thing on that and then some other stuff that we're going to give away if you give a donation to Hero now until I think the 19th or something of
Do
December.
It.
Well, every time I see Jerry Ordway ink a sandwich, I always think that's an Earth 2 sandwich.
Yeah. Well, it probably is.
In his mind,
probably
this
is
an Earth.
He's
Earth
always he's constantly thinking on Earth 2.
And Earth 2, it's they're called hoagies everywhere.
This one is from G Dog or Garrett. He said,
Garrett Wolf.
Things to talk about. Essential Showcase presents and archive editions. The black and white phone book is my favorite comic format. Talk about the good, bad, and upcoming collections.
Really?
So far, my favorite collections have been Showcase Presents Booster Gold and Essential Amazing Spider-Man Volume 7, Justice League Unlimited. Oh, that's a separate part. Then he says, you could also, you guys have talked about the show Justice League Unlimited. but never really went into detail. I love the series, and more people need to see it. But the TV show, I believe he's talking about.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Essential Showcases, I haven't really read that many of those yet. I have a stack of them. But
I haven't read any.
The horror ones and the war ones are really surprisingly good.
You said the Jonah Hex.
The Jonah Hex one and the Unknown Soldier are both fantastic.
Yeah.
You could read those. They're very... they're not cheesy. I know a lot of people pick up... I mean, you pick up Showcase Presents Superman Volume 1, and he's got shit like his head's turning into a lion's head.
Yeah.
And, like, he spends every issue just trying to teach Lois a lesson.
Yeah, and, I'm a little tired of that.
Yeah, but Showcase, like, Sergeant Rock, yeah. Showcase, Unknown Soldier, House of Mystery, Jonah Hex are really, really good and completely readable with today's taste.
I have bunch of them.
Especially Unknown Soldier. That might be my favorite one. I thought that was very, very well done. And the art in them is great because those books are almost... Like, the horror books, you don't lose anything, I think, when you lose the bad coloring.
I kind of like seeing the black and white line art. Just being a penciler myself, I just like to see, you know, sometimes the coloring gets in the way. But I haven't read a whole lot. Seriously, I have tons of them. I haven't really read a lot of them. I've practically got the Metamorpho one memorized.
Yeah,
but I haven't read. Like, I've got the Booster Gold one, but I haven't read it. Most of it's stuff that I used to have issues for, but would rather have these little collected things. You know, space saving.
You don't feel bad about tossing them around, or like, I mean, they're just black and white.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like
great for the bathroom
on the train. Yeah, great. Very absorbent if you're in trouble.
I have a stack of them. I keep buying them, and, I mean, there's just so much. I mean, I don't know how many issues in an average
Essential. I gave
essential.
You guys one.
You gave me an Adam Strange one. And
okay. You gave me a Sergeant Rock one, okay. Which I did start reading that, and the art is just unbelievable in that one.
I'm surprised by even, like, reading the Showcase Flash book, which I read for my podcast, Tom vs. the Flash, that...
Bing.
That
where's the bell?
Yeah,
oh, man,
no
Mr.
Bell.
Plug.
Mr. Plug. There is. It's interesting. You do lose a little bit because all the Flash characters are so brightly colored, and it's also a technical. But it's also really weird. You occasionally get a panel where you just see the line art, and you're just like, "Oh, that's like a really brooding, melancholy panel." You know, where it's like very like it's Barry Allen like turned to a shadow, and most of his face, but you wouldn't notice it because everything would. The background would be painted like neon yellow, and like he'd be wearing a bright red bow tie. But when you just see it in black and white, you're like, "Oh,
he was depressed."
Or like, yeah, I'm like, "Wow, there's a lot of dark in that panel that's drawn there." So it's interesting if you like line art. Sometimes it can be just interesting to.
And as far as bang for your buck, man, I mean, you get a lot of stories in you know what are those things run for now? I don't even know. 15.
You can get them for cheap.
Yeah, you can get them
online too for
in stock trades.
I get the Power Man ones and the Iron... Well, I've only got one Iron Fist volume, though.
I love the Howard the Duck Essential.
I bought the...
really, they got a Howard Duck Essential? I should get one of those. I have the old issues, but I'd like...
The Gene Colan stuff in black and white?
I bought the Omnibus.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, I would imagine...
Dr. Bomb!
I like the beautiful in black and white. I like them. Some people just refuse to read stuff in black and white if it was in color.
My wife refuses to watch any movies in black and white.
Really?
Yeah.
Like any?
Any. She hates black and white movies. Wow. And I love them, so.
Even Casablanca?
I doubt that she's ever seen it. I don't think she's ever. The only black and white movie that I know for sure she's seen all the way through is Rebel Without a Cause.
Really?
Because I was watching it one night, and she started watching it with me, and she couldn't stop watching it. But
what about
Young
Frankenstein?
Not watch. No, it's black and white, dude. Doesn't matter. She won't. It could be a brand new movie in black and white, and she won't watch it.
Huh.
I don't know. She's
got issues.
Just tell me about
What's
it. I'm
problem,
married
man?
To her.
All next right. question.
Next one is from...
Magic.
Oh, well, his second part was the Justice League Unlimited.
I think we've talked about it.
Yeah, a little bit. Chris has seen all those. I haven't watched them, so I keep hearing
them. I'm on DVD. Excellent investment. I recommend it.
I almost went out the other day and bought the first one on Blu-ray.
I just love it. The voice acting alone
is
pretty
good?
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to go.
There's no Blue Beetle in it, but...
They've got Dwayne McDuffie writes a lot of that, doesn't he?
He did.
There's a good Booster
on the
Gold
DVDs.
Episode.
Yes, Booster Gold. The DVDs actually have interviews with Dwayne McDuffie and
Meltzer.
Who's the guy? The other guy.
Ellen
Burstyn. And Mark Hamill's interviewing them.
Nice. So.
Mark Hamill does the voice of the Trickster in the Flash Rogues episode.
That's good. He was a trickster in the old Flash.
Yeah, exactly.
I would rather hear him talking than actually see him in that spandex again. Whoa, buddy.
America. I know a lot of people.
The old Flash TV show, you didn't like that?
It wasn't so much the Flash. It was like, in their effort to not make the villains look stupid, they made them look even stupider than they
were. I didn't like how it looked like. Because it came out right after Batman.
It looked like a Tim Burton.
Right. It was Batman. It was almost there was a Batman show that Tim Burton made, and they just wiped off Batman on the title and just put Flash there.
All like the neon stuff on the street, on the street.
And it's like they just took an old Batman costume and spray painted it red. Because it's seriously
no question
muscle suit.
Crazy influenced by that.
I didn't mind the
I haven't seen it
right
since
down
it was
to the
on
Danny
originally.
Elfman
so,
score.
Yep. Yeah,
well,
that's
nuts,
right.
Man.
I just thought the villains were kind of like, you know, to like
he
listen,
fought a
man.
Biker in a two. Yeah. I mean, like,
in the first one,
it's a biker.
Yeah,
Flash versus a biker.
But it's like, listen,
bikers
okay,
are tough.
We're gonna have Captain Cold in this episode, but a dude in a blue and white parka sucks. Guess what? We're gonna throw him in a sweet duster.
Dusters were big, man.
But looking back now,
dusters
it's just
are
like,
sweet
oh, that's
too.
Not any, that's worse than Swig.
Dusters never a good idea unless you're a cowboy, real cowboy.
They're throwing Captain Cold in a duster. I don't think they actually called him Captain Cold either, which I thought was
a cowboy cold.
I in the Flash Companion from Tomorrow's, which is a really good book, they have a big section about that TV show and how the writers really wanted to make the Rogues like the Rogues, but they couldn't convince like the TV people that you could do that. So they constantly, the closest they got was the Trickster.
Was Howard Chaykin on there? Because he wrote for that.
Yeah,
show.
He was one of the people they interviewed in there where they talked about, we really wanted to make, you know, Captain Cold, Captain or the Mirror Master, Mirror Master, but we could not convince them that you could get away with
doing
that.
Why would they just let them do Trickster then? Most irrelevant.
It was towards the end when they were just like, "Oh, fuck.
Oh yeah, nothing to lose.
Hell with it."
I'll just have him dress it. That those are Mark Hamill's clothes.
He just had that. He just showed up to the rehearsal like that. And they're like, "Wow, whoa! I didn't know he was going that crazy."
We're ragging on Mark Hamill now.
Next one is from Drake Dangers. This is probably a fake.
That's
name.
A real name.
Oh yeah.
Patrick, not a real name. This is the real thing.
Drake Dangers from the forum here. Love the show. Love the forum. Keep up the good work. Have you guys read any Jonathan Hickman's Image work? If so, what do you think of it all?
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. You
There's
wanted
other things
to,
I want to talk about.
You wanted to talk about...
I really liked the nightly news.
Yes.
I enjoyed it quite a
liked
bit.
I liked that, too.
I'm enjoying Red Master Mars. I didn't like Transhuman. I didn't think it was a comic book story. I thought it wasn't like sequential.
Right.
It was just sort of like pictures of people talking.
Yeah, it was hard to kind of fathom. It was.
And I just finished reading Pax Romana, which is fine because the part of the episode we lost, majority of it was
the lost episode.
The lost part of this episode. I just finished reading Pax Romana, which I really enjoyed. And if you haven't read it, it's an alternate universe tale about the Vatican decides to go back in time to make sure that Catholicism's like the dominant religion. They send back a bunch of soldiers with a cardinal. The soldiers revolt and kill the cardinal and decide we're going to remake the world like in our perfect like egalitarian image, and things start to fall apart. The one bad thing about the book, even though it's a great idea, and like I said before, it's going to seem like a big slight, but it actually is something I used to... It's like a really nicely drawn role-playing game source book. And that, like, it's a really
nice world.
The Monster
Manual.
Yeah, it's like a nice world, and like you could have a lot of fun with the character in it. But right now, there isn't a character in it. It's just
it's more
world.
Informational about the.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a big setup.
Like, I thought it was really interesting the first issue where they had a lot of conversations done by transcript. Because I'm like, oh, you know, if you're trying to set something up, maybe this is a pretty good way of doing it. Like, just jam in a bunch of info.
I don't like it when they do that in any comic.
Yeah, and then by the time I got to the fourth one, I was like, I kind of want to see people's faces when they're talking.
The only time I ever really liked the use of that device was in the old Hunter Rose Grendel, the original Grendel series, okay. Where they, because the whole story is told after Hunter Rose is dead.
Right.
So it's basically all transcripts from Christine Spar's book.
Yeah.
So they have a transcript of him talking to Argent the werewolf.
Yeah.
And it's like a phone conversation that they dug up. That was just like one page of that. And that was interesting. Just because it seemed very,
yeah,
like you were doing research, which is essentially what the book was.
Yeah.
But I don't really like it whenever because I think Bendis character. Does it a lot. Bendis, I've seen him do that several times.
Well, Bendis finds any way to not.
Kind of stuff.
And I'm not a big fan of when I see transcripts in my comics because that's
it's a visual
me, I
medium.
See
I mean, it's
a script page that wasn't
right.
Or you lose character stuff. Like you don't. There's something to be gained by seeing,
yeah,
characters, yeah, talking in a well-drawn comic. Their faces will also tell parts of the story, and that's not necessarily something you can skip all the time, yeah, to
right,
just get information across. And I kind of felt like this last issue, by the end, I hope we get a character that we can follow through with, but it would just ended up being like a map with like a transcript before it. And I was kind of like, it's cool. And I hope he gets back to it because I think it's an interesting place to set stories.
Well, it's hard to connect to a story without some character or something to attach yourself to
it's really
care about.
It's really design heavy and it's really pretty. But sometimes you just, there's nothing to, no characters to follow around in the story, really. It just seems.
Like you were saying before, when we were talking about this, is, you know, you're hoping that he gets back to it and,
yeah,
does something more with that world that he's created, because the world
is awesome. It's, yeah, great. There's all kinds of possibilities for what you could do with it. You drop some. Maybe I'll roll up a character.
Do it.
And play in that world. Someone who practices magic.
I'm a magic user.
So far, I've only read the Nightly News, which I liked. The rest of his stuff, I've sort of been waiting on the trade on all of it, and I just haven't gotten to any of it because
Red Master Mars is really good.
Is it?
I think, but I think part of it too is that he's not drawing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it helps the characters being more clear and what's going on. He's also writing Secret Warriors. I wonder if writing something like that will maybe draw it out a little bit more.
Well, they have him doing a lot.
Well, I think,
yeah,
he's
stuff
got
coming down.
I mean, I think he's a good writer and he has great ideas and stuff. But yeah, like his experimental sort of graphic design / comic book art is cool, but it is not. I don't think it's the best fit for also his very sort of complex ideas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because when you mix the two, you have very complex ideas, but you don't have very clear illustrations to go with it,
yeah,
because his illustration style is sort of I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how, Mike, how would you maybe explain his style?
It's very graphic design.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's not even I honestly haven't read any of his books, so I can't speak of the quality of them, but I can say that I haven't been attracted to them. I haven't been interested in reading them just because of the way they are presented like that. I personally prefer to read narrative comics, and these do not seem like narrative comics. I could see people on the other side saying, well, you just don't want to be challenged and stuff,
right,
like that. And part of me is like, yeah, you're right, I don't. I want to read the book. I don't want to have to get my decoder ring out to figure out how to read the book.
Right.
That being said, the design's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know,
he's very good at what he
does. I had the same problem with Brian Wood's early work, like Channel Zero,
right,
stuff,
yeah,
where everything
very
looks like
a
band flyer.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
There's
it's
a not
story there, but you kind of have to figure it out.
Right.
I mean, the stuff he does now is so much better, and I'm sure he probably would say that too. But it's been like 10 years he's been writing.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Hickman's stuff, I think he's a great designer. I don't know if it necessarily works with the stories, you know. And this is coming from somebody that hasn't read the book, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll pick that up and I'll go, oh my god, this is the new way to do stuff.
Well, I think they do in some sense, but I think it makes it harder because of the style.
Yeah.
You get a lot of info.
Yeah.
You get a ton of info presented in an interesting way. But I don't know if you get a ton of like character at the same time. You're just, it's like this overload of like maps and transcripts.
So you hear that, Jonathan, if you're listening, work on the character a little bit.
Yeah. Come back to another PAX Arena. Yeah. Please.
All right.
I mean, I still recommend it. I think it's very well done. I walked away thinking, I wish there was like, it's like when I, very quick, it's like Hellboy, you know, like Hellboy's got a complicated universe.
Right.
But ultimately, what draws you back to that book is that character, right. You know, yeah. Not the universe.
Hellboy's
you
want
to follow
character.
Those characters in this complicated universe.
Cold late nights so long ago.
Second part to his question is also, if you could turn one old school TV show.
Right? Yeah, I'm fine.
Jesus.
Is this the same?
Same guy. Dirk Dangers. Drake Dangers.
Oh, this is the new one.
If you could turn one old school TV show into a comic, what would it be? By old school, I suppose I mean 90s or earlier.
What?
I would probably pick MacGyver because he is a badass and can do anything. Runner up would be the Brady Bunch because Alice is the shits. Take care, Miguel.
The shit?
So his real name is Miguel.
With a Z.
And he goes by Drake Dangers on the
old
forum.
TV show.
Gilligan Island. Gilligan's Island, man. That'd be awesome. I'd make it
book?
Super violent.
Super Frank Miller. Frank Miller presents Gilligan's Island.
Everybody's gangbanging the two girls.
Yeah, what would really happen on that fucking island?
I'm Gilligan!
Bitch! I don't know.
A bunch of ninjas.
Master
Mork
Ninja.
Mork and Mindy probably would make
the master. I'm gonna do the master.
The master
with Shokasugi.
Beverly Hillbillies
or the A Team. Well, the A Team.
Beverly
Hillbillies. So that doesn't.
Beverly
Kung
Hillbillies.
Fu. Kung Fu.
Kung Fu. That's
would
what I was
be. Yeah, that'd be good.
Kung
Fu. What
ooh, the Green
ooh,
Hornet.
Oh, Automan.
What was it?
Manimal.
Cow. Manimal. Manimal and Automan. Misfits of Science.
Manimal. yeah,
that's
I don't
about
know.
It. Star Wars.
The entire 1986 show? Friday night lineup.
Star
BC.
I would take that cartoon that was the Fonz traveling through time.
Oh yeah. What was the name of that girl? The time traveling girl. What was her name?
I think
Dick Crank on the phone. He knows. He's probably got. A
what about like MASH?
Oh, no.
Oh, gross. Gross.
What?
That'd be the
you don't like MASH? Not like the, you know, the dramatic ones, the funny ones.
Oh, before Alan Alda made it, like, super serious.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, just the funny ones. The
good... We gotta make sure, we gotta end the Korean War. We gotta make sure.
You know, Rick Veitch does MASH. He kind of is now, I guess.
Isn't he doing that now?
Yeah, Army of yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any other good TV shows.
So Manimal, right?
Manimal. Manimal's the consensus. All right. Next email is from Alec Berry. Said, Tom Sal and Company, I hold a strong, passionate love for my next door neighbor, but she seems to ignore my existence. What should I do? Okay, ignore that question. Try this one. I hate to get serious, but it is clear that DC has hit.
I really want to answer that question.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go back to that one. He has a strong, passionate love for his next door neighbor. Is she married? Are you married?
Are you a man?
There's a wide array of spy equipment you can purchase online.
You can lead a very rich and fulfilling fantasy life on such things as The Sims.
Yes.
The Sims 2. World of Warcraft, I hear, is quite immersive.
Oh, yeah.
All right. He says, it is clear that DC has hit a hindering effect in their prosperity when it comes to control of the industry.
That sentence made no sense.
What's
a hindering effect?
I guess he's saying their market share is down.
Yeah.
I think this is what he's saying.
Okay. Everybody's market share is down, by the way.
Well, I guess just in comparison to Marvel.
But it has been for the past how many years?
In each of your opinions, what is one large factor that you believe DC should implement in order to reverse the struggle they face? Mike, I am sorry for this if this question upsets you at all.
Really? Is that saying talking to me?
You
How do
still
you know I'd be here.
I don't know. You're always here. You still kick ass, sir. Thanks, Alec Berry.
I don't care what they do. I don't know.
Animal Kind.
I just read comics.
These kind of questions are kind of why I don't listen to podcasts anymore.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. If I knew, I guess I'd start a comic book company and make tons of money. I don't know what you do.
Have I talked about on the show Sean McKeever's
master plan?
Simulator.
Yeah,
your comic company.
You can never not go out of business. And he didn't do it on purpose. It's not like a joke. It's just you cannot win this game.
I think no matter what DC does, it won't. They're not going to necessarily ever take over Marvel's market share because
they're not.
It's just the characters. It has nothing to do with good books or bad books.
It never has been, and it won't be because they're just still building on it. And unless they just destroyed everything and started from the ground up, then they'd be on equal footing. But
they have Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and those characters are awesome. And the people that enjoy those characters will always love that stuff. Yeah. But it's not conducive to trying to outsell a company with X-Men and people that will buy X-Men no matter if it's good or bad. You know what I mean? I mean, it has less to do with what they do and what just people read. I mean, you know what I mean?
I'd say don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't read.
They're not going anywhere. Time Warner. They're probably going to last a lot longer than Marvel does.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. I just read whatever. I mean, here's the stuff anyone puts out.
Not one factor that they could do to change anything, but one thing to keep in mind is that market share that you see in online and Newsarama whenever it comes out and who's got greater market share is based. It isn't based on comic book sales, as we've talked over and over again. Comic books. No one knows what anybody's selling other than the companies themselves.
Which is crazy.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
So to try and like compete with someone on a fake number, I mean, we don't know. DC could be outselling the crap out of Marvel in bookstores on graphic novels and hardcovers.
They are. I bet you with Watchmen right now.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly.
I guarantee you they
are. But that has no effect on market share and what the press releases come out with. It doesn't matter. It means nothing. So
read whatever you
not
want.
To be not to rip on your email and thanks
I'm gonna,
for
no, I'll rip on it a little bit. What did he want us to tell us?
Well, no, it's just a lot of people arguing. A lot of people on these. Well, it is the reason why I don't go to message boards anymore because that's the only kind of thread you
Everyone's
see.
Everyone's a
days.
Tiny CEO.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Internet CEOs. Yeah,
I know how to run a successful business. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
They're all very concerned, and it's all out of their crazy love for comics, which I can appreciate. But
I absolutely have all the answers. I'm just not going to give them away for free.
Yeah.
DC wants to hire me. I'll be more than happy to
consultant, and then you can start a comic company that will fail in 5 years.
Oh, all right. Thank you, emailer. Who was that?
That was Alec Berry.
Thanks for the email, Alec.
Sorry,
we didn't want to give you an answer. We didn't want to play your game.
This is from James Adam. He says he has a bunch of questions. His first one: Cable. What are your thoughts on?
Yes.
counterpoint? Cable. No, yes.
Tom, you ignorant slut.
What are your thoughts on Marvel having the Messiah baby grow up so rapidly? Is it too soap opera? Soap opera kids are often born with and then grow to adults in about 2 weeks' time. My mom watched a lot of Young and the Restless when I was growing up. Victor Newman is almost a second father to me.
Well, I would say that if you are watching a baby grow up too fast, but it's being held by a man with a mechanical arm... You might want to let that go. You
call somebody.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about that the other day. That was another little persnickety thing that goes along with the whole concern about the economics of comic books and stuff. People seem to fixate on that, and I was wondering about why people will wonder about stuff like that, and they'll really just get hung up on stuff like, hair color or the length of Jean Grey's skirt when there's other things like giant winged men.
2 feet.
Yeah.
That skirt's too small.
It's like, Jean Grey would never wear that. I was like, okay, well, he's talking to a dude with no face.
I'm not reading Cable, so I don't know how fast this Messiah kid's going, but, I mean, whatever. They'll have an
explanation.
Chuck Johns will eventually go write Cable and explain
it. And fix it.
And be like, this is what
I have no idea. I am not reading it either, so I didn't know that he was growing up so fast. And
so I think it's a her.
Her?
It's a her.
Oh, it's a her.
It's a her.
It's Baby Jean Grey or something.
The female baby.
Oh, yeah. Baby Jean.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't have an answer.
No, no, man. Drop it. Drop the book.
Drop. Yeah, drop just it. Stop reading it.
Stop reading it. Stop reading all comics.
His second one is...
Walk away. Read more DC. This will help with Alec Berry's question.
Why are comics always labeled with a date that is 2 months in advance? Comics released this week.
I know this answer.
Are they still?
I think someone mentioned that it was like a best before date. No. While listening
to go bad after it's important.
While listening,
crumbled in my hand.
While listening to episode 209, Chris Sale and Don were talking about when store owners used to get credit for sending back the covers of unsold issues. Does this future date directly tie into that? And if so, why is it still printed on there? Go ahead, Tommy.
Isn't that magazines where magazines do that too? Because
they're returnable.
Yeah, I think comics just never got.
Well, I don't know if the date. I used to know the exact answer for this. It was something to do with the publishing schedule, and it was from way back when comics were first. Yeah, it was a newsstand, but and they just never stopped doing it. There's no practical reason for those dates to be there now.
It was an indicator of when to take when to replace
it. Was that what it was? See,
yeah,
I actually thought there was some.
I
thought there was some other reason.
Because
but that's probably that makes sense.
People are buying stuff. You don't want it. You don't want to put the month. You want to put it the month that you would take it off, so it always seems newer.
Right.
You put it the month that they put it on there, and you said, "Oh, it's now January, and it's labeled November." You wouldn't sell as much because people don't want to buy magazines,
right,
or things
that
are
old.
Well, that are
but
old.
Yeah, but there's no practical reason for it today.
There's no reason to number them.
No.
Not number these comics anymore.
We are very
anti-comping
tonight.
Is it true that Tom Cater's actually eats old issues of comics to help in the retention of their stories?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
No. I smoke them.
You
like
smoke
Graham
them?
Morrison. Snort it.
Graham Morrison told me
a spell.
And if this is true, what does he recommend as a condiment?
It's fancy mustard.
Fancy mustard?
Fancy
on everything
fancies.
Across the board?
Whatever.
Does
what I would do is I would...
Grey Poupon?
I make a broth out of old comics.
And
I just
sleep.
Make like a soup, or I'll
and then you pour it into your sensory deprivation chamber.
I'll climb into it and I'll just sort of soak. I'll just soak in there.
You
and,
sleep every night and then. Take some peyote and.
Well, I wrote Batman R.I.P. 10 years ago, and it's now that Grant Morrison's catching up to what I thought should happen with that.
It's all from the collective conscious.
Seriously, if you want to remember stuff, you just have to do is you just have to smoke it.
I forget that issue.
Yeah, smoke it.
His last question is, I keep hearing about EC Comics and how many wish they were still around. Is there a way for a newer fan like myself to appreciate these old comics? Are they collected?
No.
Yes.
Make yourself appreciate them.
Just go buy them and
is there a way I can appreciate this?
You guys are dicks.
You asked for these questions, and now I'm like,
Jesus.
Move on.
I'm really sorry.
It's the wording. I think
it's just the wording.
Gemstone Publishing has recently started, last year, I think they started, or the year before. Late the year before, they started republishing all the EC comics in hardcovers. You can get them. There's like three of each volume, Twisted Tales.
And you're
Weird
a huge
Science.
Fan of that stuff. Right?
Yeah, I absolutely love great stuff.
I think it's funny because obviously what he means is there's some way I can buy these
yes.
and read them. But the way it's worded makes it sound like he bought them and just opened them.
Is there a way I can like this? Tell me how to like
this. Enjoy this.
I don't know if I can't answer that question. That is
infinitely more entertaining question.
Maybe he meant it.
Maybe
really
he did mean
it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is there some way I can enjoy this?
Well, and then it's what
well,
is
we
the,
gave him both answers.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is the easiest way to achieve this goal? Is this the second part of his
smoke
word?
It?
Smoke it. Eat it.
That's the easiest way. Is the hardcovers, but they're not exactly cheap. But they're beautifully recolored by
really
computers.
Yeah,
androids.
Marie Severinson recoloring. And yeah, they're phenomenal. I mean, if you like that stuff, that there's, I mean, some of the greatest comic artists ever worked on some of that stuff, and there's great stuff in there. They're very dialogue heavy.
Yeah, that's how you can appreciate it.
But that's how you can do it. Smoke them.
Smoke them.
That's the sort of thing you like. They right. like that sort of thing.
Smoke comics every day.
Do it.
Jesus. That was from Leon the Professional, a.k.a.
He's Canadian. Appreciate
James
it. Means something else different up there.
All right. Our next email is from Braxton. Braxton Harrison. Said, Tom Salen Norton, I guess big fuck you to Hank, in the social hierarchy of public restrooms, why do the pissers seem like cooler people than the crappers? The crappers always seem to play the part of the clown.
Speaking of smoking comics.
This is likely a worldwide injustice.
That's because
Braxton's
no one,
hanging out at too many rest stops.
I think most of the time. No, because what did he say?
Restrooms.
Public
restrooms.
Because I think most people would choose not to crap in a public restroom.
Yeah.
So it's
those,
like
those people are desperate.
They're very desperate.
But I'll piss anywhere. Anywhere. Wherever.
All right. Thank you, Braxton.
Is there any way I can appreciate this?
Richard Field says, hiya, lads. Longtime listener, first-time caller/emailer. I love it when you invite emails from us listeners, as I enjoy the varied conversation.
I'm not sure if everyone will enjoy it after this story. I got everyone for
this. I'm sorry.
And topics they often produce, but I can never really think of any questions that I'd like answering. However, I've popped on my thinking cap and got some questions for the lot of you. Let's crack on. Tom.
You must be British.
Crack on.
Fantasy comic publisher time. If you had control of DC, what would you do? Which characters would see which titles?
How are you going to fix DC,
which
Tom?
Creators?
People
want to
know,
Tom. People want to know.
I would immediately give it to somebody else. I'm actually... My fantasy comic book life is pretty much what I'm doing now, is buying stuff that I enjoy. All right.
Let's simplify the question. If you're a huge Flash fan.
Yeah.
You could have one writer, one artist work on Flash, and not Geoff Johns. Can't be Geoff Johns. Someone else other than Johns work on Flash for the next 10 years.
I'd kind of like someone like Fraction or Remender, who are kind of got crazy science ideas.
That'd be cool.
To write a Flash book.
Interesting.
Because the Flash has a sort of an origin from very heavy science fiction origin. So it'd be interesting to see someone like that write it. As far as art, I'd love to see Carl Kerschel, draw the Flash.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So a little easier.
Good
answer.
Call. You fix DC.
Yeah, you fix DC. This one is for both of us, I guess, or all of us. With recent DC issues, it appears that a soft reboot is taking place, explaining away certain characters' convoluted histories.
Christ.
Toyman, Supergirl, Batman issue 682. Which other characters would you like to see sorted before some decent stories can be written?
That's a loaded question. Which people do you want to see
fixed?
See, I don't. Like, here's the thing, though, with this
pared
whole
down, maybe
fixing and rebooting thing is that it's so built up. It's so people have this idea in their heads that like. Every story that's taken place in the last 40 years somehow is intricately important to every story that happens afterwards. But really, you know what? You could pick up the first issue of a Supergirl story, and it's not nothing's going to happen in it that's so fucking insane that it's like,
you could never read another
one. It's not going to be some quiz before you can get to page two. It's like people build up this whole thing about like continuity, what people consider important to characters from their history. You know what's important? Maybe 1% of all the things that have ever happened to that character. You know,
right?
No one cares about the Flash.
And it's generally
named Frank Curtis in the 70s. That's part of the history, but most writers ignore most of it because you have to write a story. You can't.
It's basically the important. Most of the time, the important thing in a character's history is their origin, and beyond that, the rest of it are just stories. It doesn't. I mean. I've never been one for continuity. It doesn't matter to me very much because I don't have the memory.
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened.
In fact, when people do pull stuff like let's say Geoff Johns wrote a story where you're today and it's a Flash story and this Frank guy shows up and he's like, hey, Frank, hey, that. And you would go, well, that's kind of cool. They brought him back for that. Really has no bearing on anything.
It has nothing
else
to do with the
So
script.
It's really just there for Tom Caters to me. Go, hey, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, exactly.
Has no, like, weight or.
I mean, I
but
want.
It's funny about because people would get pissed about that.
Yes,
and they'd be like,
they do.
Why is this guy? It isn't anything. It's just.
I like a certain amount of continuity in the regards of I want consistency throughout, like, a story.
Yes.
But not
that, you
40
know,
years
that,
of story.
Yeah, that is how a bad story gets. Like, the bad stories are the ones that forget how this character acted two issues ago.
Yes.
Those are the bad stories.
Yeah. Or I just want some sort of, you know, consistency in developing a character regardless of. I mean, I'm never going to sit there and go, well, that character just wouldn't act that way unless it's something that is completely against just sort of the core of a character.
Batman
I mean,
strangles a hooker.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Well, you know what I mean? Like something like completely ridiculous. You know, it's just like
better have an explanation.
As long as it works
NRIP
in the,
did it.
I don't know. I haven't read it.
No. You know, as long as it makes sense in the story that writer's writing at that time, I can't go back. If I was you, like, you have a pretty incredible memory for stuff because you read
a
lot
of. I
don't
really care about.
But you don't care. But if I had your memory, I'd probably drive myself insane.
Well, the thing.
But
the thing,
I don't have that.
Every time a new writer takes over a book, it's a soft reboot.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Every time. Yeah. Every time a new writer takes on a book, they're not unless it's like the rare case of like when Brubaker took over for Bendis and it was handed off.
Right.
Like, story. Most of the time when a new person takes over a book,
they're putting their own stamp on something.
Putting their own stamp
I mean,
it's going to be different.
Without doing that, you could not continue writing about these characters. You can't. There's no way that you can just.
So what was the original question before we got angry?
What character would you like to see sorted out and so good stories could be told about them?
But I don't think anything's holding back any of these characters.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
The stories to tell about. You can tell.
The only character I would say I wouldn't mind, and I thought maybe that Gail Simone was going to be able to do it with Wonder Woman, but I don't think she necessarily has. I think Wonder Woman is still such a sort of.
Like tomorrow, but like next month. Someone could come out with an awesome Wonder Woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Story.
Yeah.
And that's, like, it doesn't.
For me,
yeah.
I think more of just like establishing her
as
a more important character in DC. For whatever reason, I just don't think she is, as much as she's part of like the Trinity that they keep talking about, she's sort of, for whatever reason, she hasn't been established as well as Batman and Superman. I'd like to kind of see that. But
that's true.
Otherwise, I can't complain. I mean, my favorite character that was completely fucked up was Green Lantern, and John's fixed all that.
Yeah.
I'm as happy as a pig in shit. I can't, you know, couldn't get any better. You know, I mean, anything that I could have complained about with that character, he's fixed.
Yeah.
But it's all personal, too. It's like, what, you know, I mean.
I think it's.
All the stuff I'd like to fix is at Marvel.
Is it? Yeah, there's a lot at Marvel.
Yeah. It's like the next time. It's like a roulette game, though. It's like. If you like a character, you know, I really like The Flash. I haven't really liked the last couple writers on The Flash, but I'll just wait until someone gets on The Flash that I like. It'll happen.
Yeah.
You know, eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
You like Guggenheim, right?
It was good.
Well-balanced man. That's
it'll come back around. It'll be okay.
Yeah,
you
can't.
It's weirder to think that you could read one character for 25 years and think you're going to love every story.
Yeah.
That's
impossible.
That's
there's no way.
Crazy part. It's not crazy disliking some of it. Of course you're going to dislike it. You're an adult now.
How many?
What do you like now that you liked when you were 13? As much and the same.
Everything. Truth.
Like, how many sequels to movies are horseshit? That's just the second story, let alone,
you know,
400.
Like, I still love The Flash. I don't love every Flash. God knows I don't love every single Flash issue.
He's got more questions here. What comics-related websites do you check out? I normally check Newsarama, CBR, but wondered if you had any other picks.
I go to Newsarama.
I like CBR, actually. No, I mean, I go to both.
CBR and Newsarama, that's all I do.
There's a site I like a lot called the Geeks of Doom that do more than comics. They do movies and other stuff, but very comic-heavy stuff, and I really like their writing. It's a group of people that all contribute to it, and there's good stuff on there.
I've been doing that. I stopped because I realized that their feedback is basically a message board, and I have a message board embargo going on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anything else?
I still go there.
That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah, not a whole lot. It's all kind of the same news.
I always check my Geoff Johns fan club website.
Yeah. This question is for Chris, but he's not here, so we'll answer it. Or at least I'll answer it. What does Vince B really like? I think he's brilliant.
I'm saying that to piss you off, Norton.
I like Vince B. I think he's awesome.
I think he's crazy as Looney Tunes.
You enjoy him.
But I like the guy. I think it's great that he likes the stuff he does. I don't like a lot of the stuff that he likes, but I do like some of the stuff that he likes. I mean, that's just going to happen. And it's just fun to listen to somebody that just totally is on.
Throws it all in, man.
Marshall is the same way, and I call him crazy all the time. But
I would say Vince, knowing Vince, I mean, I've hung out with Vince and know him. He's exactly what he's like on the show, except a lot quieter in person.
Actually, I brought that up to him and David because I ran into them. I ran into Vince at the Wizard World show, and I didn't really even talk to him. I talked to him after the show. I was like, hey, we need to hang out instead of this just hey kind of thing. And it wasn't even really hey. I don't even think I introduced myself.
He's a lot quieter and just sort of shy in person. But as far as his four feet tall,
that's the weird. But that's the thing, you know,
he's pocket size.
But he, but no, he's awesome. Vince is awesome. I love Vince, and he's a great guy. And he, but what you hear is completely. He's not putting anything on. I mean, that's him. That's him 100%. But
crazy. Get to the next email that makes us angry.
This one is for me. Sal, I love how you get obsessed with certain subjects and you have to read up on them until you fully understand them. What's your latest obsession outside of patriotic nunchucks? I'm kind of American history right now is my latest
pretty
obsession.
Pretty broad subject.
Yeah, but I'm starting to. I'm reading a book.
Starting at the beginning?
Yeah, kind of.
Really?
I have like holy three crap. Books right now that I'm reading on the American history, and they all start like before. Well, the one starts.
Which beginning are you starting from?
Well, yeah, that's just the one starts at sort of frontier land. The other one starts at like
Disney World
pre Columbia. And then the third one starts at like Cro-Magnon. But yeah, it's very strange.
So you're not really starting at the beginning.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not. But the one that I'm reading that I really like, I can't think of the author's name off the top of my head, but the name of the book is A People's History.
God.
No, it's People's History of the United States.
Oh, it's by something with a Z. His last name's with a Z.
Yeah, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's really good. It's more...
Christina Z?
It's more almost stories. It's like telling you history through... just average eyes almost.
Yeah.
Just from the perspective of regular people, not historians or government or.
Yeah.
But it's really good. So that's sort of my latest.
The only history book I read is the Bible.
Okay. That was from Rio.
So with you.
Rio exactly. De Fideldo. Fideldo? Rio de Fideldo? 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 I didn't mean to say it that way. All right. Our last email is from.
Sorry, we're so angry.
I don't know. I don't think this one.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know why you guys are
fucking
angry bastards. This is from Comic Book Hero.
He won't ask us
comic book.
I know I'm emailing at the last minute, but I haven't had a chance before, so now here goes. If you are still looking for stuff to talk about, I would like to hear what you guys think of comics based on licensed properties. Over the last year and a half, I have noticed that comics based on TV shows and movies have improved immensely. Look at IDW's Galaxy Quest series. Who knew a comic about an almost 10-year-old cult movie would be any good? I know I was surprised. Hopefully this would be an interesting topic to talk about. Thanks, Mike. I've never really been a licensed property guy. I've always been of the mindset, if I want to read about a licensed, you know, if I want entertainment about a something that's already a movie, I'll just watch the movie.
I've been intrigued by the Star Wars books, though, because I hear people talk about
I have been, too. And part of me wants to draw one before I die. Oh. You know, I just like, I really like Star Wars.
But maybe that's just because George Lucas has lowered our expectations
for Star Wars.
It's like, it, obviously, anybody can do one of these things. Oh man! Don't give me the Galaxy. Got me started on George Lucas the other day. It just made me mad all day. I was just so mad because they had the original. They had the original movies on Spike, and I was just sitting there. I was just like, "God damn, that bastard lied to everybody."
There's no more parts before this.
You lied. You made a documentary and boldface lied about how you planned this shit out. You liar. Anyway.
Anywho,
I'm not a big fan of any license.
I kind of wanted to read the Ghostbusters one.
That's not really a.
Because Dan Aykroyd is batshit crazy, but he is crazy. Has anything to do with it.
I mean, I used to do licensed properties. I'm not a big fan of them. I liked Joe because G.I. Joe, but I was a fan when I was a kid, and it's just like, oh, there's that nostalgia thing. Working on licensed properties sucks.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The constraints of it, or? Yes.
It really depends on who the licensor is, but some of them are whack jobs. Yeah. They're all run by the legal departments rather than the creative teams. So they just pretty much weed everything that's good.
Can't do that.
Can't
do that. Can't do that.
Yeah. I just, and because of that, a lot of your movies and your comic books are pretty bland because of that. So usually if I see something that it's based on a video game or based on a movie or TV show, it's kind of like a telltale sign that this is going to suck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, it's like movies based on video games.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
They always suck.
What? I think you should do a Chewbacca miniseries. Draw a Chewbacca miniseries.
Chewbacca is very hard to draw.
Sounds like many constantly attempts.
I want to read that Fringe that came out, that Fringe book, but it's only been one issue, I think, of Fringe. Because I really like the TV show, but I haven't read it. I read that G.I. Joe issue Zero that came out, whatever, from IDW. I thought that was pretty good, but I'm just not big on licensed.
There's like five right there that I'm looking in that one little
Mirror's
section.
Mirror's Edge, Fringe, Chuck.
X-Files, World of Warcraft.
Holy crap. You know, well, that was Gears of War.
Yeah.
That's
a really high-selling comic.
Yeah, it was like the highest-selling book of the year. It's like half a million copies or something.
Games of the decade.
Crazy.
Yeah, it won't be after
I played
one.
The first one. I thought it kind of sucked.
I never finished it.
I didn't really
care
for
it.
Never finished the final stage.
I don't think I have the reflexes for that game or something.
No, you don't.
Oh, I really like it.
I do.
You need the supple young hands of a
16-year-old loser that sits in his...
That's right!
Hank, don't make me smack you before you're 18. I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, do it!
Oh, I'll let the countdown... I've
been trying to do that for a while now.
All right, that's all of our emails.
Did we answer his question, though?
Well,
I think we did.
We kind of. We answered in the only way we could. Okay. I haven't read Galaxy Quest.
Negative, yeah.
In a negative
way.
We
could. It sucks.
But, well, I will say one thing that I did read a couple of, I think they were from IDW or something. There was like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre and a couple other ones that were based on like horror movies that were actually pretty good.
Leatherface. Yeah.
There was a couple of those that I read that I think you actually gave me the trades.
I probably did.
I think you gave me the trades on a couple of them, and they were actually pretty
those
decent.
Those were Wildstorm, then.
Okay. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. There was a...
Crank likes the Supernatural comic.
Yeah?
I think he said that.
Seems like it would lend itself
but
to
But he
a
likes
comic.
That show a lot.
Yeah.
Like, more than most
I bought
people
the first
should.
Much.
Yeah.
He loves
like
it.
Suspicious
like he's really attached himself to that show.
He's really hitched his wagon to that rocket.
Anything else we want to talk? We want to talk about some comic books now, or
I just mentioned I like go buy Amazing Spider-Man.
I want to talk about one book that I read this week.
Marcos Martin, Mark Waid, give me more.
I want to talk about a book that came out that I was pleasantly surprised with. I was surprised by X in Furnace, number one, by C.B. Cebulski and some Italian dude did the art. I really enjoyed it.
This does not look like something I'd be interested in.
I went into it thinking I was going to hate it and really liked it. And what I liked about it so much, well, the art was really good. I thought the art was fantastic. But the story was really fun, and, like, it felt like I was reading the X-Men from, you know, when I was younger and really liked the X-Men. They were just entertaining characters. The story basically is Ilana Rasputin is in hell, and Peter, her brother, wants to know what the X-Men are going to do about it and how to get her out of it.
How long has she been in hell?
Well, she was in it for a long time, and then, like, she got out of it in Young X-Men.
These people will do in comic book universes.
Or they went down. He thought she was dead, I think is what it was.
That's how you get to hell, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but she wasn't. Then he found out she was in. Why are you making this so hard on me, Mike?
I'm sorry.
God damn it. You and your continuity.
I don't know. I just thought she'd been there already.
I think she was, but I think he thought she was dead and not, you know, existing.
Limbo? What about
Limbo?
Limbo.
Whatever. But now he knows, and so he's pissed off, and he wants to go down there because he thinks, you know, she's having this horrible existence in hell. In the meantime, she's pretty much ruling hell and kicking everyone's ass.
I'm running this place.
Yeah, kind of. And her soul has been stolen or broken or something from Belasco, which I always think is a funny name for a demon.
I think that is
Tabasco, Belasco.
Belasco, and he only has one arm.
But so there's sort of two stories going on. One is the X-Men trying to figure out what they're going to do about getting her back, and then she's trying to find her soul sword and some other ruined thing. I don't know. So that she thinks if she can get those, she can get her soul back and get out of hell.
Give me back my
but
soul.
It was just well written. One of the things that I enjoyed about it so much was that when I was reading it, I didn't ever get a hint of C.B. Cebulski was writing this. It was just a writer. These were characters. Each character had its own voice.
Have been able to tell if it was?
Well, I think too many times when I'm reading a book, I hear the writer's voice and not individual characters' voices.
Yeah,
in this one, the characters all had their own voices, and they were unique and different, and they were characters that I recognized. They just, like I said, they felt like characters that I grew up reading. Okay. And at least they were different. They didn't all sort of seem to have the same way of talking. And it was just, there were some funny moments in it, some ironic moments in it, and some good action. And it was, overall, it was just good. For me, I haven't been a fan of really any X-Men stuff in a long time.
I haven't read any X-Men.
And I was really, really surprised at how much I enjoyed that book. So thank you, C.B. Cebulski, for writing an X-Men book that I liked.
Sim is in it. I remember Sim from when I used to read X-Men, the red demon that...
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
Limbo
she's
that used to torture.
She's now, or he's now, Ilana's sort of lackey.
She has cloven feet.
Yeah, she's become very demonish.
Oh,
the art was very cool in it. I don't.
The art
know.
Is kind of neat.
What's the artist's name there, Tom?
Jesus Christ! Why can't you put the credits at the top? Giuseppe.
Really?
Yeah.
That does not look like
it. Did he just do some Hellblazer work? Is that the same guy?
He has done some Hellblazer, I think.
Well, he's awesome.
He's done other stuff for Marvel. I think he did. Did he do the Jack Murdock miniseries?
Maybe. Oh. No, that was Kari.
Kari Andrews
that
drew
wasn't
that?
Kari. He did a
or did he write it?
I think.
No, Zeb Wells wrote it. Did Giuseppe do it?
Get it. Look at it.
Who did the art?
Who did the art on that?
Carmine Di Giandomenico.
Different guy.
I'm sorry, I was
Damn
wrong.
You. Well, anyway, it was. I really, really liked it. So, if you are like me and fat over
two Marvel, we picked two Marvel books.
Two Marvel. Wow,
Spider-Man.
Really? Spider-Man and X and Furnace. Yeah, that's
Amazing Spider-Man was awesome. Marcos Martin should always draw Spider-Man.
Yes.
He should only draw Spider-Man.
Nothing else.
And someone
should never
do
anything
about
else.
He should not. He. I know we
shouldn't even eat.
You shouldn't.
that creators should really branch out and do their own stuff. In his case, I don't.
No.
Just don't bother.
You should buy me a milkshake. Were you not on fire when you read it?
Have you seen Fantasia?
I was smoking. Did that count? No.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's our episode. That's all we got. We read emails. That's our entire.
Yeah, well,
we talked about a little bit about.
Lucky we did an episode.
We could rail on
the
Laser
Show, but
Secret Invasion and Batman Carcophony if we wanted to.
Quick one.
Quick.
Should we just
quickly rip on?
I have read neither.
No,
don't.
Okay, I won't.
Yeah. Batman Cacophony is just, it's like Kevin Smith can't get out of his own way to write something. Just when he writes like a scene that's actually funny or actually interesting, he will then sabotage it by ending it with a anal rape joke. Because that's exactly what I was looking for in that Batman story. Yeah. But, oh, you know, this is going too good. You know what? A good dick joke would really... there's like a formula he's following.
I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. I've liked pretty much all of his movies. I listen to his podcast. I think it's funny. I like his little college tour things that he does. But yeah, that book was, I mean,
I can imagine him sitting, he's written the whole script and he's lying in bed with his bifocals on, like looking at, I'm 10 pages in and I haven't made a reference to anal sex or penises yet. I think I shall add one. Joker offers to have sex. There, that's good.
I was actually kind of surprised by that, by the fact that DC would actually let that go out in a published book, considering how sort of protective they could be about.
You know, there's people that read it and were like, yeah, you know? It's like whenever you see Kevin Smith at a convention and someone asks him like a pointed question and his retort is something like, well, yeah, I did your mom last night, and everyone laughs like an Oscar Wilde. Like Oscar Wilde just came back from heaven and just gave you the wittiest retort like on the face of the earth.
Well, and like what you said, you know, he's like, he can't get out of his own ways. I think he's a better writer than that. I think he is smarter than that.
He doesn't need to make dick
jokes. Yeah, he doesn't have to do that shit. Yeah. He doesn't, but whatever, it is what it is.
He doesn't have to.
No, I won't. I was going to rail on Secret Invasion, but there's no point.
Kevin Smith doesn't need it.
He doesn't need you.
He doesn't need any of us.
No.
He's rolling in money.
All right. I guess that's
we filled the
R-hate that's it.
Episode.
Unless you guys, anything else? Any?
Without
Mike?
Chris around, we're like.
Hank, did you say anything this entire episode?
You
Why do I put a mic?
To.
I was.
Oh, it was a joke.
It was.
Oh,
yeah, we were kidding, Hank.
We set up a microphone for Hank, and what does he do? He's text messaging what do you call him, your boo? Is that what kids call their significant others?
Shorty.
You're shorty. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Sweet thing.
Never mind.
What? No.
No,
tell
nothing.
Me. Tell me.
Doesn't matter.
Ask me.
All right. I do want to remind people that this episode is also sponsored by Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry, the anime series, complete series volumes 1, 2, and 3 available now on DVD.
Transmit all our hate that we had onto our sponsors.
I'm
selling to people. I was just looking at you. All the hate we had in this episode, all that anger.
I didn't mean any of it.
To Dante, it's more than just. To Dante, it's more than just a game. Cursed by his half monstrous, half human nature, Dante must spend his life fighting the forces of darkness.
Gorgeous
demons.
Hair.
Big ones, sly ones, crafty ones, sexy ones. Everyone knows demons come in all shapes and sizes, and somebody's got to send them back to hell. And Dante's all too happy to do it, especially if there's money involved. Check out action scene clips and trailers at www.funimation.com/Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry available now on DVD. You can email us at info@aroundcomics so we can make fun of your emails. Don't forget to
I feel like it was my influence.
I would have
brought
also,
everybody down.
I would have had the exact same. I would have answered.
It's winter time. We're angry at snow and cold.
We kept getting questions. How would you fix DC?
Well, you couldn't answer that, Tom.
I'm talking to Dan DiDio and Paul Levitz every day. Warner Brothers is fucking going down the tubes.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. And as a reminder, we are raffling off a beautiful page of 52 artwork from Mike Norton, inked by Jerry Ordway.
If you've ever wondered what an Earth 2 Quiznos looks like on the inside, this is what this page is.
As well as a bunch of other stuff. So if you make a donation to Hero Initiative, email us at info@aroundcomics.com.
Those are the Trinity stories that I get, though, where they're sitting around in a Quiznos.
Eating a sandwich.
Mike can handle this.
Mike's the sandwich guy.
It's right up Mike's alley.
Tom Derenick's the fighting in space guy.
We got someone doing laundry. Get Norton on that.
Thanks to everyone that's left iTunes reviews. You can go to iTunes, leave us a review so that Chris feels good about us.
He really likes those reviews. He makes him get out of bed in the morning.
We'll drop by our forum at aroundcomics.com. Join in on the silliness.
I won't be there.
A reminder, you can listen to Tom weekdays. can listen to Tom on his podcast, Tom versus the Flash.
Yep.
You can listen to Chris on 11 o'clock comics. He's also does a article on iFanboy called Comic Shots.
About drinking in comics.
He's going to do a Jack Daniels recipe, by God.
Mike, you can hear on the Crankcast at crankcast.net or crankcast.com. Yeah. Hank is everywhere.
Twitter.
You can see him on Twitter. I am here. And
where you want to be.
I will eventually be on some other podcast.
The question is, how would you fix DC Comics, though?
That's what the podcast is, shut up.
Oh!
Every week he tells you how he's going to fix
DC. Sal versus DC. That's my podcast.
Here's how I would have written the books this week. Guaranteed.
This is what you did wrong!
I'm just trying to make them better, right? They just listen to me. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. Thanks to Mark at Dark Tower for hosting us as usual.
Yay, me!
Yay, Mark's new dog.
Mike, Hank, Tom, myself, Kyle. Everybody have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on next Monday, with another new episode with James Robinson, hopefully.
I hope we're not this angry with James Robinson.
I hope.
He knows Kung Fu, I hear.
In the meantime...
He's Bruce Leroy. James Robinson, Bruce Leroy.
It's cotton customs. It's just like, I couldn't get in here.
Nunchucks.
It's legal to take nunchucks on a plane if you are traveling from a home to a tournament. But otherwise, it is not.
Cobra Kai!
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Sorry. Bye.
views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.